Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the return of the power handshake that is the Football Ramble. Plenty of eye contact, dragging the arm in with a real socket wrencher, and no mistake. It's Wednesday, 20th of October. I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Shake my hand. You shake my hand, Jim.
Okay.
I didn't want to.
I want to run away.
Yeah.
I want to run away.
Okay. I just feel better now.
Didn't make eye contact with you, though. Is that all right?
It's so... I hate power move handshakes. They're so tedious. They're so 1990s.
I was worried that the kind of like bumping elbows thing would stick around and then those men would start basically smashing their elbows.
Like conkers. They'll be like putting their elbows in vinegar and stuff.
Yeah. That's exactly what they do, yeah. Mm. I think the Glasgow kiss emanated from two kisses on the cheek.
How European.
Escalates. Everything escalates.
Well, it was a real barn burner where the constituent parts of the barn were reassembled after that and then torched again. Atletico 2, Liverpool 3. Very open match, wasn't it? It really. Alisson had a lot to do, and Atletico just weren't very dogged or gritty. They just went, "Oh, let's have a party."
I think it was the highlight of one of the best match day threes we've ever seen.
You and your match day threes, Jim. Come on,
it's a lovely time of year, isn't it? We all look forward to it in the calendar. But it was open for a long, long time, and then we were treated to a lovely bit of the Gazprom with a sending off, and then Atletico just took it petty, took it shithousy,
took it down to the streets.
Yeah, and it was. I couldn't have asked for more. You would think when the sending off happened that the game might lose a little bit of spark. Nah. Just a different type of spark.
Mm. Yeah, it was a bit like, you know, when you play five-a-side and the person organising the team has got it totally wrong, and you're like, right, we need to change this up, and then they get it totally wrong the other way. Liverpool had all the good players, and then Atletico Madrid had all the good players.
Yeah.
And even, as you said, like when they had the red card, they went, shit out. There must have been a moment where Klopp was like, oh, God, we got the man advantage, and he's like, oh no. It just dawned upon him that they've got a reason to be like the worst people in the world.
And then obviously they get the penalty, and then they don't get the penalty. Then Luis Suarez does the thing where he backs into a player who's jumping in the air, falls over himself, then shouts at the referee while he's getting booked. It was just, it had so much.
Classic Suarez. I genuinely thought that that late penalty call was going to stand.
I was very surprised
that went, to be honest.
Yeah. That would have been
spent
potentially
looking at it.
Suarez scoring with his first touch, which would have been very, like, you know, narrative heavy. But we got a different type of Suarez classic. Mm. So it was funny, wasn't it? Because obviously Liverpool was absolutely brilliant in that first 20 minutes. And then Atletico, as they do, just sort of forced their way back into it. But like, it was a really, really great game. But you don't look at either team and think, oh, they put in a really, really good performance there. I think it was just they kind of brought the chaos out of each other.
Yeah.
Which as a neutral is exactly what you want.
Yeah.
It's one, I think it's one of the reasons why Liverpool are so good to watch now, because I'm not going to say bored, but we're used to seeing like really good teams play in a really functional, systematic way. And you can see from like front to, you know, it starts with the goalkeeper and then goes to the defender, and it's all quite, you know, it's obviously, I suppose I'm speaking specifically about Manchester City here, but you know, it's very structured, and it's, you know, at its peak, it's very destructive as well. But Liverpool, there is that element of chaos. They do rely on that kind of stuff, right? Just give it to like three of the crazy ones up there. Like, we'll hold the four, but just give it to them out. Don't make eye contact when you give it to them. Just like trust them with it. And then we've got fullbacks who are quite mad as well. And it's all quite entertaining. And Atletico, there's almost like a chameleon element to Atletico. They're like, right, that works. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
And they decided to be quite attacking as well.
Well, they're like 2 5-a-side teams, aren't they? They're one that only defend and one that only attack.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're both brilliant at that. And the units have found a way to be cohesive. And that is also really interesting to watch.
Mm. Yeah, the penalty thing, just to go back on it, I thought the referee, Daniel Siebert, was quite bad throughout the game, but he was bad for both teams until the very end, where then he showed even greater inconsistency. Because I thought that was definitely a penalty penalty. I went a bit waddle there for Atletico. And then the Hermosa one was quite funny, though, because he clearly loses his footing and his shoulder barge becomes like a proper full-on body check.
Yeah.
But the way he's, and this is the Atletico Madrid way, the way he was able to get up and feign like he had been wronged,
yeah,
and the referee got it wrong on his part was incredible. Yeah. I believed him.
Yeah.
And then I saw the replay and I was like, this is the top tier acting.
Yes. And also, Simeone wouldn't shake Klopp's hand after the game. What did Klopp do?
He ran away.
Oh, he made it quite clear that he doesn't care for Simeone's football beforehand,
yeah,
didn't he?
Maybe,
so probably
it
had something
that
to do with that. But he did really run, didn't he? Was it the height differential? Klopp's obviously got about 6 or 7 inches on him.
Yeah. He's probably got a punch bag in the dressing room that he just needs to get to get some frustration out.
He should have run at Klopp. I'm thinking of the scene in Get Out where the gardener runs at him and then veered down the tunnel.
Yeah. That would have been amazing. Fantastic stuff. It was a really interesting match for a million different reasons. I thought the red card was going to sort of ruin the game a little bit, but it kind of got better from there a little bit. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, definitely.
I think so. Yeah, it made Atletico Madrid embrace their Simeone-ness, didn't it?
Definitely.
And I know I joked about it at the start, but it is remarkable how many different ways they have of playing. As Jim said, like they can either defend, they can go at Liverpool in the way that they got those two goals back. Like Griezmann's touch, by the way, for the second goal. Even Joao Felix's little turn, it was just a reminder of how much on-the-ball quality they had. And, you know, Lamar a few times, he was crucial for that first, for the equaliser as well. For the first goal to make it 2-1. And then when they got the 10 men down, they decided to like waste time as much as possible. And I think I wondered though, they were getting away with it. It didn't look like Liverpool were creating all that much.
No.
They had more of the ball, but it didn't, you know, even in those moments, Atletico had a bit further traction further forward. And then even when they conceded, they were like, let's just make four substitutions at once then.
Yeah, that looks weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's really, really strange. I guess with Atletico, because they're such a committed team anyway, and they do have a fairly rigid system, I think going down to 10 probably affects them a bit less than some other teams. Maybe that's an overly simple way of looking at it, but I feel like the whole game with them is dig in, fight for everything, like, you know, fight for every inch of the pitch anyway. Doesn't really change when you've...
And in Simeone's case, he was trying to make those substitutions when the red card actually happened. So imagine the fury, imagine the bile pouring into his esophagus as that happened. But I think with the red card, I mean, Griezmann kind of it's quite cool actually, because he scored two goals. He was on a hat trick, and then he's in a situation where he gets sent off. But if he got sent off in any other way, like the fans would be really, really upset with him. But because it was quite an innocuous kind of situation, I think that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people seem to be saying that it was a bit of a soft one, and like it seems to be that Atletico are really angry about it. So, I mean,
he kicked him in the ear.
He kicked him in the face. Like it's, if that's not a high boot, then that no one can ever get sent off for that offence. Surely, you know what I mean?
It was
just a really silly moment from Griezmann, but like, I thought that was a red card.
It was a high boot from a small man as well.
Yeah, maybe that's why he didn't realise.
Or did they look better?
Trying to show off.
Speaking of diminutive statured men, Mohamed Salah has become the first player in Liverpool history to score in 9 successive games.
Wow.
Following his goal against Atletico
Madrid.
I mean, people keep on talking about how he's had a quietly impressive, underrated season. But you can't underrate a lot of this stuff now, can you?
No.
He's incredible.
I mean, on Match of the Day at the weekend, they were saying he's the best player in the world right now, and it's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does seem a little bit different now. It does seem a level of... I know he's... It was a huge reason why Liverpool finished where they did last season. His goals at the back end of that campaign really helped them break into the top four, because obviously they were nowhere near midway through the season. But something now seems a bit different. There seems like an inevitability about him. When he cut in when he got the ball on the right for that first goal, I don't know how they gave that to him, by the way, but that's a different question entirely. But you were like, something's going to happen here. Mm. And I've never really had that with him before. I've always wondered what he's going to do. But whereas I was already thinking, he's going to have a shot here and it's going to go in. And obviously it went in via deflection, but it's still, there's something about him that feels a bit like a Ronaldinho-esque, where you're like, right, okay, you're going to make a fool of someone and your team's going to benefit, or this guy's family are going to suffer.
He's
just on a different plane right now. Yeah
absolutely.
Well, last night there were 35 goals across 8 matches, 6 of which could be found at the Jan Bredel, I think that's the name of their stadium. Club Brugge versus Man City. Club Brugge managing 1 goal, Man City managing 5. 2 fullbacks on the score sheet. Yeah. That's what you want to see.
That's one of the things we're watching City, isn't it? I suppose because it's become the narrative, it does actually look a little bit weird when you've got Jack Grealish or Phil Foden or whoever sort of like, you know, looking for a striker and then there isn't one. There's just loads of buzzy little midfielders and Kevin De Bruyne, but both the fullbacks score, so it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You know, your brain is looking for that centre forward, but they've scored 5. It doesn't matter.
Did you see the quality on Cancelo's opener? It's just too delicious. Delicious Meg. He just didn't look like he had time. He just sort of like tore it through. Oh, yeah. Lovely.
I get Foden with that ball over the top as well. I mean, a lot was made of how often he did that against Andorra, and obviously it is Andorra, but that is becoming such a powerful weapon. From Foden, it's really, really good to see.
He's a nightmare for any holding midfielder. I cannot follow him.
It's like really, really classy route one. It's like a sort of like it's the like the business class route one.
Not even premium economy.
I was going to say premium economy. Yeah,
access to the lounge, but you're not allowed the booze.
Yeah, you get the mimosa when you come on, but it's a lot more orange juice.
Yeah,
because they're saving the good stuff for the front.
A disposable towel rather than one that they wash.
You have to pass it down the queue, don't you?
But Man City were excellent in this match, and Brugge they've had a good campaign in Europe. I think it's fair to say, and that's something that Pep was at pains to suggest in the post match. They have played well and they have got dug out some results. So scoring 5 away from home, it's no mean feat, really. Even if you are Man City,
looks a fun place to watch football as well, doesn't it?
It is.
Really, really like fans really close to the pitch, made a lot of noise even when they were like, you know, 5-1 down towards the end.
If it's the same one that existed in the late 1980s, early 1990s, I will have played a school match at that stadium inexplicably.
Wow.
I don't know how they allowed anyone to do that.
What happened?
We just went on a school trip and we'd rocked up at the stadium. They let us play for a bit.
So it was like an improvised thing?
No, it was like a proper school trip. Went to the city, played a bit of football against some local schools, and I had a Scottish manager who gave me some advice about how to play right back. If he goes left, you go left. If he goes right, you go right. If he goes for a pish, you go for a pish. And you hold it for him.
That's not his line, though, is it? That's like a famous... That sounds like one of those Bill Shankly ones or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
That guy's repurposed. That guy's a plagiarist.
Belittle my first gay experience.
I don't know if we should be telling school children that
probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. You're quite right. Big story from last night, obviously. Cole Palmer, 19-year-old Cole Palmer, can't stop scoring, whether it's for the youth team or inexplicably the Manchester City first team in the Champions League.
Loves it. Lovely finish as well. So calm.
I kind of thought that he'd lost it a little bit, but he shipped his body to shoot and put it past the keeper. It was wonderful, Vic.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of freaky the number of kids that they can just toss into a Champions League game and have them come out the other end and bag a goal. Yeah, he looked really, he just looked really calm on the ball. Mm. How do they do it? How are they breeding? I don't care about the football side of it. How are they breeding children to be so calm? when I, as a 35-year-old man, I'm fraught with anxiety. Yeah. How do they do this?
But I mean, Pep Guardiola trying to play down the hype, trying to dampen it down a little bit by saying, you cannot cook a good dish if you don't spend time in the kitchen. Can you imagine what a nightmare Pep is in the kitchen?
Yeah. Oh, also, it does fit the Man City mantra of, if you can't cook it, order it from someone else and pay a lot of money for it.
Yeah, indeed. They're very much the Hello Fresh guys. But they asked people to look like cook it halfway. Elsewhere, PSG came from behind to beat Leipzig 3-2. What is it with the vogue for kits that look like bloody bandages? Arsenal got one, they've got one. Even the coach was in like a very informal cream hoodie. I don't like it. I don't like modern football.
Kits that look like bandages.
They look like dirty old bandages.
You talking about the Leipzig one?
Yeah. Oh, it's not nice. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can a little bit. You mean the way that the red, or basically it's streaks, isn't
it?
Yeah,
no streaks. Not even streaks on
the
clothes.
So you mean like bloodied bandages?
Yeah.
Kind of like they're in a World War II hospital.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I suppose it does look like that, doesn't it?
And it looks worse on the Arsenal one because it says Fly Emirates or something. It's like, this has gone badly, this flight. Unbelievable. But Leo Messi scored 2, one of them a Panenka. I don't know why the defender decides to lay hands on Mbappe for the first penalty. He's one of the best footballers in the world. He'll know what to do.
Well, he's having a horrible time of it, isn't he? Bleeding everywhere. all he could do.
He's probably feeling quite faint, I imagine.
Do you think he was reaching out for help? Help me! Don't help me.
Can we talk about the Mbappe penalty?
What, him taking a penalty off Messi, who's got a hat-trick and then skying it?
Yes, what happened. Was it a good thing? What happened?
He claims that Messi gave him the penalty, didn't he? Which seems, I mean, I have to take his word for it, I suppose. But surely Messi would want to just get a hat-trick under his belt for PSG as quickly as possible. Because it's taken him a while to sort of like start banging the goals.
His in.
I feel
belt.
Like it's probably there now. Mm. But yeah, odd choice. Mbappe doesn't seem to like want to be part of this like Galacticos, does he?
No, he's
intrigued by it.
Yeah, he's like one of the... He's like one of the Jenners, isn't he? He's like, no, I don't want to. I can't be doing this. Yeah, it's too much. Yeah, I don't even like basketball players.
Well, obviously, the main story from this match is that Mauro Icardi, was excused from the game for family issues. Vish, our celebrity entertainment expert, what the hell's gone on?
So I've actually tried to work this out from Instagram.
Right.
I've decided that actually, you know, the coverage of it has been fine, but it doesn't really tell you the whole story. Mm. So, Jim, you know, you've been doing a bit of this as well, so we can kind of work this out between us. But basically, Icardi was potentially going to leave because his wife had left him.
Yes, and agent. She's also his wife and agent.
Wife and agent had left him, so he was going to potentially leave PSG. I don't know if he was going to go in search of her. No one cleared that up.
No.
Or if she was staying...
She's not a hard woman to find. No, she's just not. Watch her Instagram stories.
Yeah. That Lisa Stanfield song.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know where, I don't know why. Being around the world now, I can't find my baby. That one.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Can't
sorry.
Find his baby.
I heard that in Notorious B.I.G.'s voice, and I was like, that's not Lisa Stanfield. It was, yeah. So then they got back together over 4 Instagram posts spread over about 24, 36 hours.
There's a picture of Lady Di in there as well.
So on her Instagram story, Wanda posted a photo of Lady Di. I don't know why.
Don't want to speculate on that. Mm.
But shouldn't.
Yeah.
It'll only end up being cut out.
But the breakup apparently started. Now, this is all very kind of online. This is all very it's not necessarily the football ramble, but this all started with him asking to see his wife's messages, suspecting that she was doing naughties. And then he agreed to show her his phone as well. And then she found messages.
Yeah.
So it's all less than ideal. Hoisted by his own petard. Round of applause.
Yeah. Didn't she post something like, another family you've ruined for a shag? I feel like we should really apologise to our listeners for not having covered more of Mario and Wonder over the years.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, a penny for Maxi Lopez's thoughts. God, I'm glad I was shot of all of this.
Yeah, glad I got him out of all that. I really feel like Arsenal need to get him in January and Amazon need to pay for it just so we can get this in All or Nothing.
Well, elsewhere in Europe, Celtic played Ferencvaros in the Europa League at home at 3:30 p.m. yesterday. 50,000 fans, all with dentist appointments at that time. But Kyogo Furuhashi, again, scoring at a really, really important time. And the pass from Jota was even better. Did you see this goal? It was incredible.
Yeah, it was a lovely little ball and a great little slot as well. Mm. And an incredible first touch, probably a better first touch than Griezmann's yesterday, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fair. He's tearing it up at north of the border. But the manager of Celtic was asked whether he would change his style before the game. Quite the quote from Postecoglou. My view on that is, if you are a strict vegetarian, you don't drop into Macca's just because you're hungry, mate. You know, this is what I believe in. I didn't do the accents. I should have got you to do it because you were doing it beautifully.
But it's just the way that, like, I mean, he clearly is a man who eats McDonald's.
Yeah.
I imagine he does. Sorry, or rather Hungry Jack's, as it is in Australia.
Yeah, that's Burger King
equivalent. Yeah. Right. But he's just like, he's so focused on what he wants that he doesn't pay attention to the rest of the menu where there are vegetarian options. So.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like it's further proof that every Australian man is the most Australian man ever. And I love it.
You're not a little bit Australian, I suppose, are you, as Luke always says. Right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with your emails, your pep talks, and a little bit of football as well.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Shane Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage, and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat. The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy.
He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a five-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is History Done Differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
we're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
Too many keepers. Right, it's time for some... welcome back to Football Ramble, by the way. It's time for this.
We are so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me.
We are so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Wait! Drink water and relax!
Best jingle in 12 years, I think that's fair. Get your emails in to shortfootballramble.com or tweet at footballramble if you would like to get involved in pep talks. Jim, what's Nick brought us?
Nick Toes has been in touch and he has brought us this. He says, regarding the pep talks last week with a guy torn between AC Milan and Liverpool, I have the solution. A simple GPS location website and some rudimentary mental arithmetic meant I have found the exact central point between Anfield and the San Siro. I introduce the small French village of Moulins-sous-Touvent, which translates as Moulin-under-Touvent. Apologies to any French people listening to that pronunciation. I'm sure it's wrong. Unfortunately, there's no team of note there. In fact, the closest team in the French footballing system I could find were US Laon or Olympique Saint-Quentin, who play in the Regional 1 and National 2, respectively. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how helpful that is.
That's close enough. This is what the Pep Talks advice section is all about.
Math geography.
GPS coordinates. Yeah. Fantastic. Vish.
I've got an email from Isaac. This isn't football related. Well, you said it's the right place, but I've received a job offer for the Coast Guard in Shetland.
Wow.
I currently live in Wrexham. Shout out to Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. This will be the first time I move out by myself. Any advice at all? I love the way you're just ripping the band-aid straight off. Yeah, not even going as far
Shetland.
As the Shetland, but being entrusted with people's lives as well. Because you haven't been able to take care of yourself for this long.
Yeah. I mean, vegetables, right?
What?
Just lots of vegetables.
Right.
Just,
what, eating?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like if you we don't know how old you are exactly, but if this is your first time living away, maybe you're quite young. Just eat loads of vegetables. Like, you're thinking, oh, I can just buy whatever I want now. Brilliant. I'm just going to buy crisps. Yay. So live off that. Get salad.
What I like that is, Jim, said like a true stand-up approaching 40. you might be young. You might be 35. Stand-ups don't make that much money.
Yeah, the veg is a good idea. Be careful. They're quite crafty up there. I watch Vigil. I've seen what they're up to. Be careful.
Something going on up there.
Yeah.
Yes, if you've got any questions for us, however bizarre, send them in for Pep Talks and we'll get to them every single Wednesday. Shortfootballramble.com or tweet at Football Ramble. Newcastle United, Jim.
Yes.
Breaking news. Right, well, let's get into this, right?
Yeah.
Halfway, about 15 minutes in the show, if we sound a little bit different or discombobulated or confused, it's because we had to leave for a fucking fire alarm, right? And then we came back in and literally 30 seconds ago...
Bruce out!
He's gone!
Hashtag Bruce gone!
God bless the god of fire! The god of fire saved us!
He's shone upon us for once! The curse of the Ramblings broken
Bruce is no longer the manager of Newcastle United.
Left by mutual consent.
Mutual consent.
Money.
Yeah.
Left by financial consent.
Fantastic.
Presumably.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all we got. Manager Steve Bruce has left Newcastle United by mutual consent just 13 days after the Saudi Arabia-backed £305 million takeover of the Premier League side was completed. More to follow. And there will be more to follow.
There will
It's going
be.
To be interesting to see who's going to be in the frame to come in. There's been talk of the Contes. I think it's probably more likely that Graham Smith will limp to the end of the season and they'll sort it out somewhere else.
Yeah.
Graham Jones, sorry, yeah. Not Graham Smith.
But still.
bring in the Icardis.
Imagine. Wander in charge.
It's going to be very, very interesting and it's probably something that should have happened before the Spurs match.
How do you feel about that, Pete? Like reacting live to this?
I think the coaching staff could do as good a job as Steve Bruce has. But again, it's that argument to sort of say, well, do any of the coaching staff have the authority over the squad? Because Steve Bruce clearly didn't. There was clearly some disagreements in the tunnel after the Spurs game, and people were sort of questioning Steve Bruce's tactics, if indeed those things existed. It's going to be interesting to see how this all pans out.
We've also heard them having bus lots with Graham Jones because of a rat.
Because of a rat, there's a rat in the dressing room. What am I going to do? Incredible stuff. I mean, there's Isaac Hayden, Jamal Lascelles pulled apart. That was them making up. They had to be pulled apart from a scrap after the Spurs game, and the players think there is a rat in the dressing room after these reports came out. Who's your money on the rat? Come on. Let's expose.
Well, I don't think it's just one person because it never is in this situation.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of
WhatsApp group, do you reckon? Or
well, it would be
What's rat doesn't work.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
We tried to work it. We had a little rat pun fest, didn't we? Yeah. In the WhatsApp group yesterday. Yeah. It is something that happens a lot. These kind of bits of infighting, and often like it can actually be a sign of quite a strong dressing room where players feel comfortable challenging each other and pulling up each other on something that, you know, not been of the standards that's required or expected. And obviously in this situation it's not that case. It's because things are going down the pan, and also players are quite worried about their own futures because, you know, with all due respect to Jamal Lascelles and Isaac Hayden, I wonder what they're thinking about for next season. Often in this case, it's actually more than one person. And often it's not actually a player itself. It might be through an agent who just has a word with someone.
Yeah.
And because on that topic, when Amanda Staveley took over, Amanda Staveley did a series of interviews with newspaper and with journalists about kind of her vision. And I think a lot of people came out of those interviews realizing that she'd read a lot of what they'd done. And obviously that's something you can say to our upper journalists. It's what we all want to hear. Oh, I've read your stuff. Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was very much across all the various different issues at Newcastle regarding to, for example, the fact that some, Newcastle have banned members of the press in the past. Mm. Some members of the press currently were banned by Bruce. There were various issues around, you know, they knew basically what was being reported it in the press with regards to things like this, the infighting and stuff like that, and the issues with the coaching staff were actually true because they made those calls of their own and found out that a lot of this was grounded in truth. So really, this isn't too surprising. You say about the Spurs thing, I can understand why they didn't, because they're probably still trying to work out how things are going on. Bear in mind, this is the first time any of them have been involved in a football club, and that's one of the stories that's been emanating from the start of this, this new regime, is that they don't really know how football works.
Mike Ashley didn't, and even he was astonished at how much like the Wild West it is.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things that Benitez says, isn't he? Not just in Newcastle, but elsewhere. Like, football is a mad, mad world. Mm. And so I suppose, you know, they've done it now. I agree with you. I think the best thing they could do is bring in someone just to last to the end of the season, not really focus on getting the appointment right now, because you don't really know where the club are going to be or what squad you're going to be dealing with.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems mad, doesn't it, to talk about one of the richest clubs in the world, which they've instantly become, how they've just got to get this relegation battle out of the way first, essentially. Yeah. So, I suppose it does depend how Graham Jones does, doesn't it? If he steadies the ship, like very, very, like essentially immediately, maybe he will do it to the end of the season. But it's a huge, huge risk of relegation. They might need to bring someone in, and it will be on a temporary basis.
He got the finals, mate, in the Euros. He was there. He was there. But I mean, this whole kind of takeover, it's kind of found itself on a rather rocky road quite early on. 18 Premier League clubs voting for a temporary ban on sponsorship deals linked to pre-existing business relationships. The only two dissenting voices being Newcastle United themselves and also Manchester City, who are obviously most of their sponsorship is related to their owners.
I like to think that all of these meetings end in a big food fight.
And it'd be rich food.
Yeah,
very rich food.
All right, everything concluded? Yep. Food fight!
Yeah.
It'd hurt to get clouted by a lobster, wouldn't it?
It would. Oh, would it?
I think it would. If it was uncooked, if it was still alive, man. Oh,
yeah. Maybe they are again. Evil enough that they like to eat live lobster. Of course Man City voted against that, but I mean, the argument Man City made
they technically abstained, so right, Newcastle okay. Man City abstained, which is, I don't know why it exists in that.
That's strange. Them, but yeah. But I think essentially what they claim is that they pay the market rate for these sponsorships, so actually it's just like, it's... why the hell can't we do this? You know, we own all these things, we pay the market rate, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, it's difficult to for it to be sort of transparent, isn't it? But like, I think, you know, it's worth making the point that none of the criticism that this stuff is having is of Newcastle's fans, isn't it? Because whatever they think about the situation, they've had no say in it. So whether they're sort of celebrating and wearing tea towels around their heads or whether they're sort of lamenting the situation, in this instance, I think this is really about the fans of everyone else. Because we've seen how much this can distort the league. When City come in and they're just, you know, they're just so good, they just pay the money to be the best at everything. It really limits the ambitions of the other clubs, because it just, you know, it essentially takes up another one of those top four places regularly, and that is a little bit disheartening as a fan of another club.
I think many sort of team supporters would be sort of thinking, well, all right, look, if you're going to examine one team's kind of slightly murky or slightly muddy deals.
Oh, very few teams are innocent in that.
I mean, Leicester City is called the King Power.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, like, it is in every club, these sort of deals.
Some of Stan Kroenke stuff that he's you know, been up to is absurd.
Have you been to Rwanda yet?
I haven't visited Rwanda yet.
That was one of my predictions about three seasons ago, whether like Rwandan tourism would go down somehow because of Arsenal's.
But what I started to say was, like, I think it's going to be resisted at every turn by the other clubs, essentially, because we've seen what happens, and they don't want their own ambitions to essentially have to be reduced by that. And I don't think it'll work, because I think the fan who supports the Premier League, the fans of various Premier League clubs from within England that go to the games are probably not the Premier League's priority. The fans that are the Premier League's priority are fans in emerging markets, fans who might actually just change team if another super club comes along. Because as many super clubs as possible on a global scale is appealing to the Premier League, isn't it? So I think that, you know, this sort of resistance probably won't really work. But I can understand why the clubs are trying to do it.
I think it's incredibly shameless from the Premier League clubs, because, you know, to look at your own house and you know, as Pete said, think, oh, no, but they're going to do it better than we've done it. And they're gonna make
money. Of course. Our billionaires aren't, you know, this much billionaires.
Yeah. No. Like, we should have capped it at super millionaires. Who allowed this? Yeah.
Exactly.
It shows how gutless the Premier League are, that the clubs can come together. And obviously we know that the component parts are stronger than the organisation itself. But the fact that this has been ratified, it's only temporary. It's only for a month.
Yeah.
And then they've got another vote to see whether they want to make it permanent. David Heitner of The Guardian has written a really good explainer about all this. But the fact that we haven't heard from Richard Masters or anyone else in the Premier League about this Newcastle takeover beyond like a shoddy little release, and like stuff like this is being actioned, it is a great time for actual leadership of coming up and saying, right, we do need to get our house in order. We need to set some parameters at least. You know, they're in and it's fine, but explain the decision, explain why it was different, and also just like sort out this mess, because there are going to be more of these situations.
Yes. Well, doesn't it show you exactly what we were just talking about how football is clearly a bit of a mess, just as a, you know, as a world, as a business.
A bloated entity.
When you get people like, you know, the guys that run Man City, the guys that run PSG, and presumably what will now happen with Newcastle, come in where they actually know what they're doing from other businesses, or they just get people in place who do know what they're doing, who've got the skills to translate. And look how quickly they can become successful. Look how quickly they can actually function. And it's like, clearly football is so vulnerable to it, because it's just a bit of a bun fight everywhere else.
And I would just say one thing to the supporters. Don't take it so personally. They're pulling up the ladder after Man City and Sheffield United. All this. Don't take it so bloody personally. This isn't your fight. This is the boardroom. This isn't your fight. Just watch the football and calm the hell down, all right? Take that tea towel off your head. speaking of strange sponsorship deals, the new series of Succession started early in the week on Sky. Hearts, do you see this? Hearts have done a deal with Sky for a limited edition charity shirt sponsored by the fictional company owned by the equally fictional Roman Roy from the show, which is, it's all very meta, isn't it, Jim? You're a fan of Succession, aren't you?
I love Succession. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah. So I'm all for this. Like, to be honest, like, did you see the Napoli thing as well? They did a Halloween themed kit. I think this is going to be the norm now. We're going to start getting like...
It's sponsored by the Underworld.
Yeah. Well, it's just got like... I mean, it's spooky because it's just got like spider webs on
essentially,
it.
Yeah.
If I was a spider, I'd be pissed off. That's my house. But they... You're going, oh, haven't you got a spooky house? It's like, it's my house where I live, Dick.
Yeah, it also...
I made that. But it is you like make a... your house...
But it's like spooky a serial killer's spooky. House, though, isn't it?
You know what? You know what I paid for mine? Fuck all!
Get on my ass! Yeah. They literally.
Did, someone from Napoli also said, if you're into superheroes, it also doubles up as that. So I think we're going to see more of this, like kind of limited edition. Like,
oh, it's
kits,
already very
just, like,
much
an
in
extra
there.
Revenue stream. It might even get like the Goo Goo Doodle by the end of it. Just every single game, different.
Oh,
kit.
A new one. Yeah.
I thought you said the Goo Goo Dolls. Yeah, that'd be weird.
Get them on
it?
My shirt. Fantastic.
The weird thing about the Roman Roy. Thing is, so he's not Roman Roy, is it? It's Logan Roy.
Logan
Roy.
But Roman Roy accent. Yeah, actually, you know, that was going to be a spoiler. So if you've not seen it,
yeah,
thank me.
Oh, but the thing is, I suppose isn't giving too much away. But he's actually supports Hibs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a bit
by the wrong side.
Yeah,
there's the spoiler. For fuck's sake,
what? No, it's fine. It's you should have. I think you should have watched it by
come
now.
Come on.
Yeah.
You've got any interest for crying out loud. Well, the worst thing about it is on Twitter. This is a perfect example of football Twitter. Somebody. You know, posts a picture of the new shirt and sort of says, you know, it's sponsored by Royco, the fictional Roman Roy, and the fictional Roman Roy's company. And then a guy called Elliot Wilson replies saying, inevitable. I can't decide whether it's a nice little nod or cringingly cringe. Probably the latter, but then I don't really follow the football or Succession. Why are you getting involved there, mate?
Shut
your bloody mouth, Elliot. Come on.
Inevitable. Oh. I don't know what either of these things are, but it's inevitable.
It's inevitable. Yeah. Unbelievable. So tonight in the Champions League, Manchester United are taking on free-scoring Atalanta. Nervous Fish. Why are you crying, Vish? Fish, why are you crying? You're sad about the fire alarm.
Could I might take a page out of Solskjaer's book and I can just choose not to watch things that are on TV. did you see that? Yeah, when he said he doesn't watch Gary Neville or Jamie Carragher.
That's right.
Are these? Is he not a friend of him?
I would say if he watched Monday Night Football where they do the tactics dissection, I think he should watch that. I would advise.
Yes.
I would advise Inverted the Pyramid by Donald Wilson as well.
Yeah, no, he said, isn't he, like he tends not to watch those two. And I kind of understand it because Jamie Carragher in particular tends to just say, yeah, they're just not going to win anything significant with him at the helm, which is probably true. Yeah. But if you are only going to Solskjaer, it's probably not the best thing.
You're
going to
tear that person out. Is it fair to say that watching Manchester United at the moment is just like watching a financial institution running a football club rather than a manager? Because they don't look particularly, they don't look like they've got an idea about what they're trying to do. Is that fair?
Yeah, I thought you meant in the way that it might look like, you know, we've got accountants running around in midfield. Yeah, it's been quite interesting. Obviously, the Leicester City game was kind of it played out in quite an expected manner. You know, I covered the Arsenal game on Monday, and that kind of played to tight by the end of it. And so did the Manchester United thing. Yeah. Every now and again, they just get away with it, and against a side with a decent amount of quality like Leicester City, you don't. Atalanta will be, this will be fascinating actually, because it does seem like the pressure has ramped up a level now. I think a lot of people have made the point that some of Solskjaer's biggest allies in the punditry world are starting to temper their praise, which you might have to do when you're on a losing run. Yeah, but and you know, I was being flippant about the Neville Carragher thing, obviously beyond the tactic stuff. But I would imagine that if you're in any kind of role and you're getting slagged off on TV for an hour, you probably wouldn't watch, would you?
Absolutely
no, probably not. And also tonight, Chelsea Malmo. I can imagine Chelsea's absolutely hammering that side, to be quite frank, bottom of the table. If you want some more from us, remember there is loads of bonus content over on our Patreon. We've got bonus episodes, we've got ad-free shows, we've got little live call-in shows at times as well. I was involved in one of them over the weekend, and more from just $5 a month. Get yourself over to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, we've got Kate, Vish and Jim. Vish, you're back for another one. Jim, you're back for another one.
Yep.
It's your third slice of Football Ramble fun this week.
It is.
Lovely.
I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank Hephaestus.
Hephaestus,
who is the Greek god of fire, for allowing us this Bruce reprieve. Yeah. We didn't miss it. We got it this time.
No,
right? That never happens.
More fires.
Surely there's other fire gods you could have chosen with easier names.
Yeah, you know, on reflection, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Check your fire gods.
You know what catches fire easily? Oil.
There we go.
Ooh.
We'll be back tomorrow for more Football Ramble fun. Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Vish.
Sorry if I've pronounced that wrong, Hephaestus.
We'd like to apologise to Hephaestus. Goodbye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.